You are now listening to TDL, silverandblackpride.com.
Everybody, we are back. It is Tape Don't Lie. It is your favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders everything. Breakdowns. We got you. We are back. We're ready for the review, guys. And you already know what to do. Subscribe. Make sure you hit the like button if you like it. Hit the dislike button if you don't like it. Leave a comment if you like it. Leave a comment if you dislike it, right? But, you know, and then if you hear this on iTunes and you guys like the audio version, I know some people like the audio version, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on Silver and Black Pride podcast. And then, you know, go ahead and listen to my boy Matt Holder's Handfuls as well. And then make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at @TheMarkJohnNFL for me, and then at @BDWilliams18 for BD. And then also, can't forget good old Manscaped TDL discount code. So make sure you guys use that Manscaped discount code TDL. All right.
So going back through this.
Yeah.
How, like, what opinions changed when you're going back through watching, like, actually, like, charting the tape, right? What changed that you thought maybe you were seeing from the broadcast angle?
What changed that I thought what I was seeing from the broadcast angle? I thought they were running a lot of the same things that they ran before. That's probably what changed the most. I thought they were running a lot of the same things that they ran before, and I cut on the tape, and I was wrong. That's probably the biggest thing. You know, the run game, I really couldn't tell. You know, I thought the offensive line played a lot better, but I think there's a reason why DJ Fluker is coming to work out. I think there's a big reason for that. And I'll show that today too as well. But I thought it was it wasn't a completely different offense, but it was different. It was not the same. But it was like simple stuff. It was simple stuff that anybody could pick up in a week, though. It was. I mean, it's mostly just add-ons.
Okay. So like wrinkles.
Yeah, wrinkles, add-ons. So that's why it wasn't difficult for them to figure out, because it's same look, but it's just different.
Right.
Which is why the Broncos were everywhere. Broncos had no idea what they were doing. which is going to be an issue for, I think, a lot of teams. Like, I was just on the Eagles podcast, and I was, and that's what I told them. Like, I don't know if the Eagles are going to know what they're doing. Is that going to be a shallow, or is it going to be a post, or is it going to be what it used to be? Is it going to be there's some things that I didn't even show you guys some of the variations, like with, you know, they did a sluggo off of, the Dragon concept that Derek Carr didn't look at, but I'm sure he's going to look at that next week.
I'm going right back to it.
You know, he was looking that way. And probably if he came back to it, it'd been late, but whew, it's insane. There's a lot of things that, you know, if you see a look and you try to jump it, it's not that look anymore. I guess it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while before teams figure out what the hell the Raiders are doing right now.
I actually watched a bit of Eagles today on defense, but I thought they were fast. You know, I didn't like get too in depth with it. It looked like probably best chances running the football at them, but I don't know if the Raiders are going to be able to do that. So, but I'll have to, you know, look more in depth into them later on, or maybe even the offense. But, but yeah, for me, you know, going through and charting it, you know, I knew that there was a ton of pass breakups. My charting confirmed that. I knew there was a lot of hurries. My charting confirmed that, you know, guys like Damian Square, okay, all right, Brandon Faison, right? I mean, I'm saying his name correctly this time. Guys who were like literally not even in the plans when the year started, right, have signed, you know, in recent weeks and are playing and they're making an impact. So some of those guys that are popping off the film, it's great to see. Solomon Thomas definitely by far playing his best football of his career. So those things that maybe some of it got lost on me in the broadcast, I was able to see, but it's interesting. I think and we can have a larger discussion about this, the Raiders kind of transitioning to like this big play offense forces the defense to kind of take on a like a different identity, because before they were like, we're going to make you be precise and surgical, you know, these offenses and drive down the field, you know, matriculate down the field, like slowly but surely. Right. Mm-hmm. But now I think that they just need to like be a team that like, whatever the box score says, like, we don't even care about the box score. We're just trying to get sacks, interceptions in order. Cause like, that's how that's the defense you got to play for the way that the Raiders are playing offense right now. Mm-hmm. If the Raiders were like taking care of the football, like in terms of putting together like super long drives.
Yeah.
But the Raiders defense played 81 snaps, 81. Like the Raiders offense are scoring, but they're scoring like what, 2 minutes, 3 minutes?
Yeah, the third quarter, they just boop, 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 boop. I'm telling you, that's what I'm telling you, bro. Like you could say the Eagles can play deep, but they don't know what the Raiders are gonna do. They have no idea. They don't know how they're gonna run the ball, they don't know what run plays are gonna do, they don't know what schemes are. It's week two all over again for them.
Yeah.
So that's really what it is. I mean, that's why the Broncos were already. It could have been worse. That's what I say. If the Broncos weren't such a good defense, they are still a really good defense. I think they made a lot of plays to stop a lot of things. because they haven't given up 30 points all year. You know, they haven't been like dominated like that. I mean, they've given up some slow bleeds. You know, from their offense not being able to move the football, or something like the Ravens game. They controlled the Ravens for most of that game. It was just kind of slow bleed. So they lost 23-7 because their offense couldn't do a damn thing, right? So when you play defense, sometimes your offense can't do a damn thing. You might give up more points than you actually should. So, I mean, I think the Broncos are not a bad defense. I think that's, you know, a lot of people are like, well, the Broncos suck. You know, I mean, on offense, yeah, maybe, right? On offense, they might be a little deficient. But on defense, I mean, they were able to stop a lot of the things, and the Raiders still average 8 yards per play. So
that's why
I was like, yeah, the Eagles. Yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, they might look fast, but they play a lot of too high, and you know, like they think, you know, Greg Olsen is, you know, licking his chops a little bit, I think, especially since they don't blitz or I'm getting a little too ahead of myself, but here we go.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go.
All right.
Well, so why don't we jump into it? I'll jump in and do defense first.
Okay. All right.
I'll give you a little breakdown, you know, of some, I think, things that were thematic in the game here for us. All right, so let's just get into it. So early on, Raiders cornerback depth was tested. Okay, here's Amik Robertson. Technically, he's the Raiders' like fourth or fifth corner. Okay, you see him react very late to this. I mean, credit to his like recovery speed, I guess, but he still gives up a 9 yard gain right there. You see similar thing. He's a little hesitant, doesn't trust himself, comes back, gives up a big first down. This is all the first drive. And then later on in the drive, you see him here, gets up a little too high. He doesn't drop his hips. He has to hold on, gets thrown to the ground, gives up a touchdown. Okay. Now, next drive comes in for one play. We see the Raiders, they're gapped out. Amik Robertson, he is a D-gap player, but for some reason he jumps inside here and then proceeds to miss a tackle. He got taken out of the game directly after that, but Brandon Faison came in, okay, and I didn't even notice until, you know, he started making some plays. You see him here on the interception. He's got to find the guy who's going deep. He sinks his hips, puts himself in a great position to make a play on the ball. And the overthrow right there, you see him here, slams on the brakes, explodes through Cortland Sutton. Gosh, that was a violent pass breakup. As violent as a pass breakup as you're going to see on a curl route. My goodness, gives that wide receiver whiplash, right? You see him here. He's not even targeted on this play. You see him, he shuffles off. He turns his hips, but watch him. Plant him break here at the same exact time as the receiver. I don't think you really find corners at this length that do that really well and consistently. So we've got to keep our eye on that. And you look, when he needs to come up here and play run support, you saw him do that. Okay, he can get it done there as well. Now, you know, this is a good segue, I think, here. Talk about the Raiders defense. You see everyone spilling out here to face on. They're fitting the run better and better each game, I think, after the Baltimore game. But, you know, here Faison gives up a little touchdown. He's not perfect. He's got, you know, to work on some, getting some of the checks in, understanding what's going on in the game. But let's transition to stopping the run. So far this year, the Raiders have averaged, given up 4.31 yards per rush. Now, when they're in base personnel and in the under front, that number goes down to 1.75. We talked about the under front on this channel. This is Gus Bradley's, you know, hit, this is his thing. But here's a refresher. We got the three technique away from the tight end. That's the flex side of the front here, okay? And the Raiders are in an under front with the linebacker walked up on the line of scrimmage, okay? I think this helped them stop the run this week. They played more under front than they have all year by a wide margin. I just think that it condenses the line down and helps these guys get after the ball carrier. But also, hey, defensive lineman, you just got to make a play, right? You got to win. Get off blocks, make plays in the run game, regardless of the scheme. It just comes down to who's going to make a play. Now, let's get into the pass rush here. Okay, Max Crosby, you see him give a little stutter step to the tackle, swipe in. I love how he's fronting the guy, putting a move on him. Okay, that takes a lot of confidence to pass, rush the passer like that. You see here, he gets caught up. Max Crosby gets caught up a little bit on the tight end. But he finishes, says, hold these to Teddy Bridgewater. Body slams him into the dirt. Okay. Here's another one from Crosby. Just powers through. I mean, Bobby Massey, are you shaving points? Like, what's going on with that effort right there? Terrible. Terrible. Now, it didn't have to be a sack. You see these guys get some miscommunication on the stunt. Okay. Solomon Thomas finishes, forces a pass breakup. Okay. So even if they didn't get a sack, they're still putting pressure on this quarterback. Here's another one here. Max Crosby selling out. Damian Square, great effort. Force a ball out of bounds. Here we go. Here's another one from Damian Square. Quick win. Great recovery by the guard, but you see Damian Square rip through it again. Two moves. Finishes at the quarterback. Forces an overthrow on what was probably going to be a completion right there. Okay, and then here's Max Crosby also. He doesn't have to get sacks. He could bat the ball down. Okay. Sack, the Raiders got a sack or a hurry on 31% of dropbacks, by far their highest of this season. They averaged 22% entering the game. Raiders also had 10 passes defensed, another season high for their defense. But the most important thing, 4 takeaways. That's how you win football games. Take the ball away from your opponent. Watch this one right here. This is the forced fumble. Abram cheats back here, shows too high late. Teddy Bridgewater goes, oh, I was not planning on, you know, too high. Let me get up out of here. Tries to take the game, you know, game to his own hands. And when you force quarterbacks or when you put quarterbacks into a position to force to play like that, that's when mistakes are made. Let's watch Solomon Thomas on this rush. Okay, you see him get off the ball, goes for the two-hand swipe. Okay, let me try to inside spin. Oh, gets clobbered. Okay, look at him. Still fighting, still looking for the quarterback. This is incredible, incredible effort right here, okay? And then punches the ball out. It's all effort. He was getting beat, but he finished, right? And then this is the interception from Trayvon Merrick. We talked about Trayvon Merrick's ability to deny the post, deny the seam. That's just what he did right there. We knew he could do that, but it's a desperation heat by Teddy Bridgewater, and you make a team pay when they start getting desperate. So it was really a full performance, I think, in terms of stopping the run in key situations, okay, getting the ball back to the offense, taking the ball away, this incredible amount of passes defense. Never seen a Raiders defense do that. I mean, I would go games charting the Raiders defense under Paul Gunther without a single pass defense, and they're getting like 10 a game, okay? They haven't not gotten one this year. Like, they're defending the pass.
Yeah.
So great effort all around effort. There's some warts. There's some things in there that we're going to have to keep our eye on in terms of just some, you know, just consistently really easy completions, and they're just not covering certain parts of the field purposefully because of the scheme. You know, like the underneath stuff, like you see like a little stick route or something like that to the tight end. It's automatic. Like, that's a guaranteed like 6 yards against this defense. Like, they do not defend that at all. They just rally to it. So certain things like that can get drives going, can get, you know, chunk plays in certain situations that help the drive keep on going. So I think the Raiders got, you know, some things that they need to clean up in terms of that, but a really great performance. Pass rush. Like, this is the first week where everyone was like, oh, we got a pass rush. We got a pass rush. This is the first week where I'm saying, okay, yeah, we got a pass rush.
You just want to believe it, bro. You didn't want to believe it yet. I just had to wait. PFS wait until Max Crosby faces Lane Johnson this week to say if he's good. But they just keep – they'll grade him elite. But is he good? But our grades say he is. But we live by our grades. It's ridiculous. They need to stop. But anyways, so let me ask you this. So how do they stop teams from doing that? Because, you know, I mentioned to you about – that's what the Eagles do. I mean, they just – you know, I mean, they just kind of just throw short all the time. So with a team like, you know, or like the Chargers, you know, do they have to play more man like they did against the Chargers, or what is?
They're not going to change it. They're not going to tweak their coverage plan. Okay, like they really won't. They run the same stuff basically each week, except for week one where they exclusively ran cover three. Okay, but after that, it's basically that we're seeing the same looks. We're not seeing a lot of variation. I would say on the back end, what it really comes down to is like they're going to use like Max Crosby or Yannick Ngakoue or Carl Nassib to basically just hit that tight end before he gets into his route, throw off the timing, but they're not going to cover it any differently. You know, like they'll do little things. Maybe they'll, you know, have these guys sitting in the passing lane, try to jump up and get their hand up on that ball. But they're not going to cover it differently. Okay. He just hasn't, like, they don't have any options in their defense so far that I've seen where they're like jumping that or anything. I don't know what they're going to do about that, honestly, other than just keep on putting teams in situations where they can't, like, it's complementary football, right? Where if the Raiders offense keeps up this clip that we've seen four out of six games, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Teams can't afford or shouldn't be able to afford every week to just throw like a 5-6 yard stick route, mm-hmm. right? Like three times in a drive, like it's not going to work. Right. So I think that's something that as long as the offense keeps on doing its thing, it's fine. Raiders don't have to adjust that, really.
Okay. All right, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the pass rush looks really good. I think the back end looks really good. They're not allowed the deep ball. People get a little frustrated with them not being able to stop the run, but like, in this league at this point, I mean, you can't score points running the football. You can't score a lot of points. So, I mean, unless you got Derrick Henry, then yeah. If the Raiders play Derrick Henry, then yeah, I'm worried. Just like when the Raiders play the Cowboys, yeah. I'm worried then too, because, you know, they can do both. So, and it's like, you know, that's this type of team. And there's not many teams like that, though. It's really just the Cowboys, I mean, to be honest, that can – do both. Either to the team can be like the Browns, where they just run the football, they can't really pass, or they're like the Chiefs, they can't, you know, or the Chargers, you know, those teams that aren't really running football teams. I mean, the Cowboys could do both, so that's why that's the only team that I'm really worried about with this team, because I mean, they're just gonna keep running the football until and stop it, and then you try to stop it rubbing, they're gonna try to hit you over the top. So, and that's what the Raiders want to be too, but I mean, the Cowboys are already there, so. I think they'll be fine not being able to stop the run. Like, the Eagles don't run the football. I mean, you know, that's what they're trying to figure out, you know, like, who's going to run the football this week, you know? Should they try? Yeah, of course. But they probably don't – they really don't want to.
It comes down to – it's just, like, what the emphasis is. The emphasis is getting penetration and getting into the backfield, into your pass rush.
Yeah.
That's the emphasis from this team.
Yeah.
There were situations where the Raiders in week six against the Broncos, where they said, we want to stop the run, and they didn't do that. They stopped the run. Okay. So it's not like this team is not capable of it. It's just like what the philosophy is doesn't include stopping the run. Like, they're like, who cares, unless we're playing a Derrick Henry. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Like, why should we sell out to stop the run if we're playing some undrafted rookie free agent running back? Okay, and this team likes to throw the ball 40 times a game. Like, why would we even emphasize that this week? You know,
exactly.
Give them like a 15 yard run. Who cares? You know, like, that's fine,
because they're not going to keep taking it.
That's not
right. And then like, yeah. And just like when my perfect example, I even use Derrick Henry as an example. You know, Bill Belichick in the playoffs, the last year they had Tom Brady, they let them run all over. They were like, run all over us. What are you going to do? And they scored 14 points, you know what I mean? Or 19 after the interception or something late. But
yeah,
but that's my point. They scored like 14 points the whole game. And Derrick Henry ran for 200 yards. You know, like it's, you're not going to score a lot of points running the football. So that's why, you know, a lot of teams these days don't care about stopping it, because they're trying to stop teams from scoring 30 a game. It's not,
yeah,
it's not the 1982 where you can lead the league in scoring 23 points a game. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, how many non-quarterbacks fumble the ball? You know, like how often are we seeing, you know, like you're going to go multiple games where it's like, no skill player fumbles the ball except for the quarterback, you know, like,
yeah.
So, you know, what's the chances of you getting a takeaway on a run play? Very low.
Yeah.
Very low. But mm-hmm. then when it's a pass play, shoot, it could be a sack, a strip sack.
Mm-hmm.
It could be an interception, tip drill, something.
Yeah.
Now the ball movement is changing. The variables are widening there. So yeah, like, defending the pass and figuring out how, you know, how to affect the football that way. And it seems like so far the Raiders have a good recipe, yeah. You know, it's something that young guys are able to do. Clearly Merrick is playing well. Abram Hobbs, obviously, like, these guys are starters for a reason, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're going to keep our eyes on these guys, see how they keep on progressing, but they're doing a really good job on defense.
Is Jonathan Abram better than Jamal Adams?
No, he's not better than Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams, it's so funny because that play where he's in, it looks like they're like in like a cover five, cover like slice or cover seven or something like that. And he's getting a jump on the play.
Yeah.
Right. He's jumping it and it's a great break on the ball.
Since he can't catch it, we make fun of him. Yes.
Yeah. And then he bounces off his helmet and everyone's like, oh, he sucks. Like, that was a great break. You could not do that. So don't say he sucks.
It just was like the dude that was like, show me a play in coverage where he's being sticky. I found that like in 3 seconds. It's like, do you not know I follow Matty F. Brown? I was like, I just would put Matty F. Brown, Jamal Adams, boop, perfect one. Bam. So funny. But anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, guys.
What I will say about Abram in relation to Adams is what Adams is so good at when he's playing around the box,
yeah,
is like adding as a blitzer against the run and the pass. It's very incredibly effective, probably one of the most effective in the NFL doing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Abram has like the explosiveness, the willingness, right? The fierce hitting ability, all these things to like be able to do that.
Yeah,
he's just being so obvious. He's not disguising good well enough at all, and it's just like as soon as he like, you know, shows the intentions to blitz, everyone's just pointing at him. Like he's not playing cool at all out there. And he's not a cool dude. Like you see him talking, like he's just a loud mouth. He's like a, you know, he doesn't have a chill bone in his body. He's got to be a little bit more chill out there.
Yeah. Yeah. We were disguising. Yeah.
Right. Just, play hard to get a little bit, be coy, you know, don't show that you're blitzing and then hit it. But, you know, he should be an effective blitzer right now. What he does is he might get a hurry every once in a while, you know, but he's not like finishing. It's like, we're not seeing sacks from Jonathan Abram. If he steps up into that level, then yeah, we're talking about Jamal Adams style of player, I guess, but you can't say he's Jamal Adams or can't really compare him to Jamal Adams because he's not really a super effective blitzer.
Very true. All right, man. So I guess we'll get into this offense now, right? I guess we'll get into the,
all right, yeah, let's do it. Let's see what you got here.
Let's see what we got. Let's see what was different this week, because we do a little offensive line, you know, do a little. So, yeah, we're going to do offensive line, and then we're going to look at the different variations of some plays that, that's why I was talking about why they're catching the Eagles off guard. They're going to catch teams off guard, not just the Eagles. A lot of teams aren't going to know what they're going to do, and then, you know, Greg Olsen could just go back to the old stuff like 3 weeks from now. So that's the kind of cool part of what I'm going to show you, some of you guys, some of this stuff. All right. So let's go ahead and check that out. All right, can you see my screen?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, cool. All right, so we're just going to go over offensive line play. We're going to start with run blocking, and then we're going to get to pass blocking. So we're going to do both. All right, and it was a better day for the Raiders overall. I mean, they didn't give up too much pressure. But, I mean, they didn't have as many blown blocks as they usually do in the run game. So we'll start off here with, you know, the usual inside zone splice, right? Sorry about that. And then you got 68, Andre James getting blown up right there. Really easy. That was a good spin move by Josh Jacobs. He fights to get 1 yard. We saw a little bit of duo this week, which is a little bit different. I mean, duo is basically a strong side inside zone. I know people try to get funky about it, but it's just strong side, right? So, you know, opposite the tight end. So, you know, duo usually got the two-way go, right? You got the linebacker leaning right. So that tells you he should just run right through that hole. But Kenyon Drake bounces this for some reason, but he still finds a way to get 6 yards through that push. I don't know, but that was very well blocked up play. You guys saw that. That was blocked up very well by this football team. And then we got a little bit of change too. We got a little counter RPO type of movement here. So, you know, you got John Simpson, he's going to be pulling, and then we got a counter RPO. So you got to watch Derek Carr. He's going to be reading the linebacker here, right? Reading the linebacker, gives it up, but Brandon Parker can't hold his block. You see his pads were way too high, arms too out, just got shed, ruins the play, right? So it seemed like every run play they had early on was just ruined by like at least one player, and the rest of them were pretty good blocks. So, but like I said, there wasn't a lot of blown blocks this week, but here we go. We got a little wide zone, which you can see in mostly mid zone. You saw some wide zone, which was something Josh Jacobs did really well. In 2019, you saw him get a nice 6 yards there. Great block from the whole offensive line on that one. Then we got counter RPO again, but watch number 98 just blow that play up. He's just awesome. He read that from the jump. He saw the counter. He backed up, and he just slid and made that play, right? But then they started switching it up a little bit with some of these looks. So instead of inside zone slice, we get mid zone slice here, okay? So with the mid zone slice, you're going to get the same split zone look, but it's going to be mid zone, and then opens up the cutback. We see a bunch of great blocks from Simpson, from Miller, from Moreau, from James too, right? There's a big hole. Josh Jacobs, he kind of slipped, but then he gets tripped up by Kareem Jackson. So that was a good run right there. And then you got the touchdown, second and four, mid zone, right? More great blocks. Simpson, Miller, Leatherwood looking awesome right there. This is a big, big boy blocks right there. Opening up the mid zone. Opens up the lane perfectly for Kenyon Drake. And you get a nice block from Hunter Renfrow. Touchdown. Right? So they had a really good game running the run blocking, in my opinion. Well, it wasn't a lot of issues with their run blocking. But sometimes they had some issues, like just one guy messed it up. But then we saw something really different. We saw counter bash. This is like stuff that the Lamar Jackson and them do, right? Counter bash, right, with the RPO opens it up. This is something they've never seen. The Broncos probably never seen the Raiders do this, right? Opens it up perfectly, touchdown. Nobody even knows what's coming on. Two guys pull with the Raiders. This is crazy. All right. Let's talk about pass protection, right? So this is the first touchdown to Henry Ruggs. So let's check this one out, right? You're going to see John Simpson. He's just the spin move. Don't spin. You're going to get pancaked if you spin. Don't do that. Then you see Colton Miller and Brandon Parker. They kind of get pushed back into Derek Carr a little bit. So you see Colton Miller got pushed back a little bit on this game, gave up a little bit of pressure too on this one, right? Then you see them dealing with stunts. They handled stunts so much better this week. Really, really good with the stunts. We'll see it one more time. Analyst, slow motion, see Leatherwood and James are switching. Simpson holding it down, Colton Miller holding it down, and then, you know, Brandon Parker, he's holding it down over there too as well, right? And then this one, this is the touchdown, not the touchdown, the big play to Brian Edwards, right? So you see them giving time, but you see kind of Brandon Parker, he's kind of giving up a little bit of pressure, right? He's getting a little bit of pressure, but, you know, Derek Carr's getting rid of that ball quick. I think they had a clean pocket, he's getting rid of the ball in 2.4 seconds. And you see here the stunt, the handle stunt really good here. Once again, the inside, but Brandon Parker gets beat. Derek Carr does a good job, quick release, getting rid of that football, getting 8 yards, right? And then, like I said, they're giving Brandon Parker a lot of help. And then you see the pancake from Simpson, Leatherwood holding it down, right? Derek Carr thought he's going to get Henry Ruggs in anticipation, missed that one. Then the play action kind of forced Derek Carr, Von Miller getting beat. He kind of messed up the rhythm on that play. So, I mean, you saw Brandon Parker have a little bit of issues, but he was getting a lot of help. You see him, Hunter Renfrow helping right there, giving Carr a clean pocket. Like I said, Colt Miller got pushed back a little bit in this game, right to beautiful dime to Kenyon Drake. So the offensive line, I mean, it really had their best game of the year, in my opinion. I thought they played pretty well. They didn't give up too much pressure, but let's get to these play variations, guys. Let's get to this cool stuff that Greg Olsen was doing. We already saw some of them, you know, with the counter, the counter bash, but let's get into like different looks from different things they're already doing. So we got Z curl here. This is a play the Raiders run all the time. Usually if you get the 2x2, you know, the two wide receivers bunched up on that side, you're getting Z curl, right? And you get the curl route right to Henry Ruggs with the post route, with the swing route to Alec Engel, right? So we're in 21 again. We got Z curl, but this time we got a double move with it, right? We got a double move with the Z curl with the swing route. So you're going to see the same exact look. Drop back, boom, but a double move forces Patrick Surtain to basically hug Henry Ruggs to save him from getting burned. Pass interference. Raiders keep the ball moving. All right, so we got the four verts look here, right? So we got four verts with the jet motion, which turns into a four verts, kind of a wheel kind of look. Now, this play is famous because Derek Carr missed Darren Waller here on the back end of this one, right? Ended up checking down. You know, Brian Greasy had to point that out. He doesn't point it out for other quarterbacks because there's just narratives. So here we go. Same look. Same exact jet motion. Oh, but we get a screen. And I don't know what the hell Brian Edwards is doing here. He just starts jogging for some reason. He just ruins the whole play. I don't know what's happening. Like, he's just jogging. And that guy forces Josh Jacobs to, he can't cut back. I don't know what Brian Edwards is. I don't know if he's getting mad. I don't know what happened. All right. But anyways, then we got choice shallow. Okay. So we got choice shallow. This is one that, you know, we talk about all the time. You got the shallow route from Hunter Renfrow. And you get the choice route from Darren Waller. Nice little play, right? First down. But let's go back to the Broncos game. This is when Greg Olsen's a madman. Okay. So we got choice route, and he's going to turn this into a shallow, like the mesh corner look that the Raiders like to run. Okay. And I'm really mad at this play because they let the safety just go and just ruin this whole beautiful concept. So watch Hunter Renfrow how he sells this. So Hunter Renfrow gets his eyes, right? Because he's running shallow. Oh, no, I'm not. He's so wide open. Oh, that play kills me. Oh, man, that would have been all over. That would have been a highlight everywhere. That's this play design. But they blew this offensive line, and this is kind of why I was talking about why Brandon Parker's not playing, because I still think, even though Alex Leatherwood went inside, Brandon Parker's not blocking anybody. And you got to go to the guy who gets to the quarterback the quickest. Because if he blocks him, that's a touchdown. And because Von Miller's not getting there at times. So, I mean, you saw some of the play variations there, guys. And, yeah, that last one was disgusting. That was just nasty, bro. I don't know.
Filthy. Filthy. So,
Derek Carr, I could tell, like, he was so upset because he tried so hard to get that pass. He was like, you can't ruin this design.
Yeah. So when you were talking about, you thought that there was some, there's a reason why Fluker got brought in. Yeah. You're saying it's because Parker needs to get out of the lineup, Leatherwood needs to get back to tackle, and Fluker could play guard. That's what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that Leatherwood should stay at guard. And Fluker should play tackle.
Oh, Fluker's a tackle. Got it.
Yes, Fluker's a tackle. He's a right tackle. So, because Leatherwood looks pretty good at guard, bro. He looks pretty good there, actually. I'm going to keep it real. He looks pretty good. He looks way better than he did outside. He looks like he's a better run blocker. He's definitely a lot more control for him. Doesn't have to deal with as much athleticism. So, he's better there. He's a strong guy. He has long arms. So, and he's really good in the run game. So, I mean, he's a lot better there. I mean, he is. It's just, but that was my whole point. Like, sure, he might be right better, but you have Brandon Parker out there. And then Darren Waller can't get into the offense as much, right? Because he's got a chip block. They were chip blocking. Like, they were trying to keep Von Miller, like, down the field, like, at least a 3-yard separation before he got to, you know, Brandon Parker. And then Derek Carr had got rid of the football. But if it was one-on-one, it was, you know, he was losing. You know, he wasn't winning one-on-one against Von Miller. He needed help, like, consistently. And it's taken Hunter Renfrow out of the game, too, a little bit. Hunter Renfrow's got a chip block, you know? So, that's probably what they're doing. They're probably thinking like DJ Fluka could probably come in and we don't have to chip block as much as with him as we would with Brandon Parker, or even putting Alex Leatherwood out there. And then Leatherwood looks good inside. He looks like he's a first round player inside. I mean, he does. He's like, he has a chance to get really better and play really well. I think, you know, him and Simpson, and I think James is kind of a little bit the weak link still there a little bit. You don't really trust James, but he played better this game. But I still don't trust him too much, you know, cause he still has some plays where he was, you know, messing up and, you know, getting some things going. But, I still think that the inside, those three guys, I think they played pretty well this game. They probably pretty much set the tone a little bit. And I think Colton Miller struggled a little bit more than we usually see in pass protection. And, you know, Brandon Parker just needed so much help. And then when he was one-on-one, he usually lost. So that's basically how that went.
I think it's really cool in your breakdown, like you're talking about how what they're doing to chip block and, you know, things like that. You know, take, like you're saying, using the slot, using the tight end, right? Mm-hmm. So that's factoring into Von Miller not being like a huge factor in the game. And then also Derek Carr getting rid of the ball in 2.5 seconds, you know, from a clean pocket, you know, like that kills a pass rush right there. So does Von Miller suck now? Like everyone's like, oh, Von Miller's not no good. And like, no, it was a great plan. It was a great, you know, scheme to protect their weak link on the offensive line, which is Brandon Parker, from, you know, a beast pass rusher. So they were able to pull it off. So that's a great thing. What about let's go back to the run game.
Okay.
Leatherwood inside, Simpson inside. These guys are built to move humans, right? If any one of these guys on the offensive line or in the team period is going to be a bouncer, okay, I'm picking Leatherwood, Simpson, and probably Hankins. Those are going to be my bouncers. Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome to see them kind of open up some holes. How much better was the run game this week versus, you know, previous weeks?
I think it was a lot better. I just think that the running backs that are there, I mean, Jacobs at this point to me is just good. He's just a good running back. I think Kenyon Drake is a good running back too. I think they're just good running backs. They're both not great. But I think Drake will feel a little bit better in the scheme because I think, you know, Greg Olsen will be able to have a more diverse run game. Like I said, I mean, the run game was diverse. Probably the most diverse run game that I had with the point that I was looking up gap schemes. So I was trying to make sure, like there's two tackles. Why is the tackle pulling? That's not normal. So I'm like, oh God, that's counter bash. Like that's not, you know, like I had to go look up things. So, and it wasn't just the same thing that I've seen like over and over and over again. Right. So, and there's different looks. It's like he added like a mid zone. He added the split zone with a little bit of mid zone instead of just pure out inside zone. Right. So then that opened up a big hole. Right. Cause, and especially since they ran the pure split zone inside zone as the first run play of the game, you're expecting that again, but then it's mid zone. It's a little different. Then, you know, everybody's a little off. So that's, and then they got some big runs later on in the game. It was like, everything was a buildup with Greg Olsen. I feel like too, like everything was like a buildup type of thing, because like really early on, they were like really short. They were like, you know, chunk it down like 32, I'm gonna hit the flat. You know, I'm gonna try to do a speed option on 3rd and 2. You know, I'm gonna try to, you know, do some like some short throws, you know, try to, you know, maybe a play action intermediate throw. You know, everything was like, you know, try to get everybody to come up a little bit, right? Because that's what happens. That's what's happening this year, is everybody's backing up. So, you know, they started creeping up a little bit, right? They started creeping up and then they started blitzing, right? Because he's getting rid of the ball so quick and he's hitting things and they got to start blitzing, right? So they start blitzing. And then next thing you know, they're scoring like 8 plays. Like they scoring like 5 plays a drive, you know, because then like that blitz, you see 4 verticals. Like, oh, they're attacking us. And then you blitz, right? And then they just screen you. And then it's just, you know, and he would have scored if Edwards wasn't jogging. He scores, right? And that's what they would have scored in 2 plays. You know what I mean? Like it was, so it was like everything felt like a buildup. It's like he set up the wheel by throwing the choice route first. Right, do a choice route out right outside, right? And then next thing you know, they're hitting you with the post wheel, but then you don't think it's post wheel because there's a drive concept under it. So they got drive under it, and then you so you but you don't realize the post wheel, because could it be the NCA concept, because it's a post wheel over the top? You don't know what concept it is, and he's hitting you on this one, and that's why he has everything wide open, because he's drawing a whole bunch of different stuff at people that they aren't ready for. And I mean, he literally put three concepts together on that Kenyatric. But there's drive, there's NCA, and appeal. So there's three concepts together.
I mean, crazy. Look, this is what Kenyon Drake, how he should be used.
Like, yeah.
His ability to get to the second level, just like the speed he has, you know, where you can run him on that. Basically, it's a fade. Like he's running a fade. He's standing next to Derek Carr, and he's like, okay, I'm going to run the fade real quick from here. Right. Like that's what a wheel is, a running back wheel. You know, yeah. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And he's able to get downfield and just like completely kill it in an angle. Right. Or just. Yeah. Ruin an angle like Kenyon Drake downfield, that's a serious option. And I think that because Olsen is here now we have a guy with a lot less ego and about his system and everything like that, and he'll borrow from like the JD McKissicks, the DeAndre Swifts. We see them getting upfield, running the corner routes, running the post route from the backfield. That's Kenyon Drake. Please, let's use him like that. That just adds another element to this offense. And I think that seeing that chunk play, seeing the screen, okay, seeing the out and up from Drake, the longer, not the long, but, you know, long enough touchdown run.
Yeah.
Generating chunk plays from the backs. All right, watch out. I'm telling you. Like, come on.
He cooked them, boys, bro. He cooked them. Oh, that was Greg Olsen cooking. I try to tell people, bro, that he was better than you think. He's way better than you think. He's dealt with a lot of crappy quarterbacks. He dealt with Josh Freeman, but he made Josh Freeman look really good. And then he made Blake Bortles look really good. Like, I wouldn't say Blake Bortles looked good, but he made him look like a competent quarterback. You know, he really basically got Blake Bortles a new contract because he had him throw 35 touchdowns. Be like, well, I mean, he did throw 35 touchdowns 1 year, and that was like kind of the thing with Blake. And then, you know, then that defense went off, and then he won a couple of playoff games, and he got a contract. And that was really mostly Greg Olsen developing Blake Bortles. And I think that's kind of what was missing too. What people didn't understand is like, this dude works well with quarterbacks. He knows quarterbacks. And that's what I was talking about. Bruce Arians, if you know quarterbacks and you know what to do, and your quarterback trusts you, and then your quarterback's getting rid of the football in 2.5 seconds, and he's still throwing downfield. Like they were like, it was like the Edwards one, that was catch, boom, rhythm, bow.
Right.
Rhythm. Everything rhythm. Was in rhythm. Everything was in rhythm. Even the one to Ruggs that was late, the Ruggs, you know, had to jump on. I mean, he threw that one early, and that was basically kind of in rhythm because he didn't have to step out too far. He just kind of just chucked it in the air. And then even some of the throws where he wasn't able to step into him, he was still in rhythm even when the pressure was coming, so he's still able to get enough on it. So everything kept him in rhythm. And that's why they didn't have a lot of pressure either, because he was just giving the football, boom, step back, boom. This is what I'm saying. It was like downfield too. It was like short passes. It was like he hit the back of his drop, boom, he's letting go of that football. And it'll be deep downfield. It'd be somebody open. Olsen was just cooking, bro. That's basically what happened this game. Yeah, he goes, because he even like was moving Darren Waller a little bit around when he did get a chance and had him run a post. I've never seen Darren Waller run a post route in my life.
Really?
I've never seen it, but he did this game. He ran a straight up post route. Like I've seen him run crossers. You know, you see him run like the over route.
Yeah, the over, right?
This was a post. This is like a, you know.
Okay.
So, like the route the Ruggs usually run. So that's what I'm saying. Catching you off guard. Like, why would you him lining up right there? You don't think that. You don't think he's gonna. Waller's not gonna run a post. He's probably gonna run like a choice route or something like that. Here he comes, right, streaking right down at you, and boom.
And then, love to see it. You love to see that these guys got. I mean, it's like a breath of fresh air in the meeting rooms and the offense. Yeah. It showed up in a major way. I think it was great performance by the offense, complimentary performance by the defense. You know, obviously we talked about it on the show. We're not just homers.
Yeah.
Offensive line has to improve.
Yeah,
right?
They do.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'll say, I mean, this is a bad pass rush. This was a bad. It's really. I've talked about that in the pregame. Like, if they can't blitz, which they tried not to. They tried like to just get pressure before, but it wasn't gonna work. And then they started blitzing, and they just got even more burned. So yeah, it just got worse because, you know. So it's they had a great performance, but it is a really bad pass rush. I'm not gonna lie, guys. It's not.
Great. But like, I mean, you got to improve across the board, no matter what, as an NFL team, like you want to have a chance at the postseason. Like, you're playing so much better football in week 15 versus like week one. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that you have a chance in the playoffs. Right. So, you know, offensive line, it's remains a work in progress. They're trying to work things out now with DJ Fluker. Let's see if he gets in the lineup. Obviously, you know, we see some things in the Raiders defense too. They're really struggling with depth at corner. So these things are going to remain question marks until they're not. But I think that overall, though, the team's on a good trajectory.
Yeah.
Seeing great improvements on both sides of the ball, really. So you should be encouraged if you're a Raiders fan, for sure.
Yeah. I'm definitely encouraged by the offense. Because, like I said, I think it's going to take a while for teams to figure out what's going on. It's going to take a while. I think that's the benefit of what happened in this game for the offense, is that it's so different, right? But it's the same. So since it's so different, but it's the same, it's going to be tough for teams to game plan for it. Cause that's what I'm saying. Like that, you know, that when, you know, Renfro, you know, does a choice route and he does a shallow. I mean, if he does a shallow that game, what are you going to do? Right. You have to respect the shallow. You have to. So it's gonna cause a lot of worry for back ends, especially that Dragon Slug. I didn't even show you guys with Henry Ruggs. That's probably team's scared to death on that. That's
it's a touchdown waiting to happen.
It's a touchdown waiting to happen. I was like, that's a touchdown.
All right, I guess I'll have to wait for a Philadelphia game here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to go over before we get out of here, bro?
No, man. Just that, bro. I'm super, I'm just excited. I mean, the looks are different, you know, and it's not a slight to Gruden. I mean, probably people think I'm like making a big slight to Gruden or whatever. So, it's just Gruden. I mean, they got stubborn, bro. You know, we all know that. We all know they got a little stubborn, and you know, it's we're seeing the same offense with different wrinkles. And I think that's what they needed. They needed to get out of those same looks that they've been running for 3 years. They've been running the same looks for three seasons. So they had to add something different. And I felt like this year that he just kind of ran out of ideas. I feel like last year, that was his last bit of ideas to add on. And I feel like he ran out this year and he was kind of doing the same thing over and over and over again. And that's why that's why Greg Olsen's a little bit of a breath of fresh air, because he's just adding on to something that he should have been added on. Basically.
Yeah. Right. It's ironic that you're in the same position as I am, you know, new offensive coordinator, you know, so we're both excited watching the film for sure.
Yeah.
That's it, Raider Nation. We appreciate everyone for tuning in. This is the Taped on Live Raiders Film Channel. If you're listening to us on Apple or Spotify, make sure you hit the download button so you can get all these episodes downloaded directly to your device whenever they drop. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit subscribe. Make sure you hit turn on post notifications so you can be notified anytime one of our new videos drops. Also, make sure you hit up Manscaped with the promo code TDL for 20% off and free shipping for, you know, any kind of host of grooming products, high quality grooming products at that. We appreciate everyone who has purchased from Manscaped to help sponsor this channel. That's it, Raider Nation. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at BD Williams 18 at the Mark John NFL. We out.
Peace.